Amen. Amen. All right, Mark chapter 9, and we have a text today, and it's verse 23. Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe." Mark chapter 9 begins on the Mount Transfiguration. And how wonderful to be in the Mount with the Lord. No wonder Peter did not want to leave that mountain. He wanted to build little booths, little shacks or temporary dwellings that they could stay on the mountaintop with the Lord. There is nothing like the presence of the Lord to the Christian. And if you are in His presence, you won't want to leave it. Every saint that is now in glory does not want to be down here on earth in the midst of all the issues and all the trials of this world. When Moses was on the Mount Sinai with God for those 40 days and 40 nights, and he came down to the people, he found the Israelites in chaos. You remember how they had made the golden calf. They had sinned and they had grieved God, and what troubles that brought. When these three disciples, Peter, James, and John, came down from the Mount Transfiguration, what did they find? They found that the disciples were in chaos. They had an emergency. They had this young boy that was brought to them by a father in great distress, and he was possessed by a demon. He was showing all kinds of signs of torment by this demon possessing his body, and the problem was they couldn't do a thing about it. With all their past powers as disciples, and you remember how the 70 went out in Jesus' name, they were able to do great miracles, and now they were absolutely powerless. They couldn't help. And another form of torment was these religious scribes that had gathered around, and they were quizzing the disciples, "What's wrong? Where's your Christianity now?" And not only was the boy in torment, but these nine disciples were also in torment. They had no answers. Well, you know the story, how the Lord Jesus came down from the mountain to the midst with the other three, and he took over. And it wasn't long until he answered the distress of his father and his cry for help, and the boy was delivered from this demon. Here is a message for us today on the Lord's is the answer for impossible situations. And there are impossible situations that arise in our lives over and over again, whether it's in war. I think that military pundits and leaders have now realized that Afghanistan is an insolvable problem. And they want an exit strategy just to get out with some kind of dignity and leave Afghanistan alone. And as you know, over the past years, so many nations have tried to subjugate Afghanistan and failed. The Russians couldn't do it. And all the military might of present armies there, with vast forces, they can't do it. It is an impossible situation. It happens also in business. And there are times when there are just things that will not work. New ventures are stepped out into, and before long they just go away, and the best thing is to find an exit, get out, because this is not working. And of course there are impossible situations in families. Those things where parents are absolutely powerless. And we have every sympathy for this father who came to the Lord with his tears and with his troubled heart and cried for the Lord to help him and to undertake. And there are those times in our homes, our families, when there are just impossible situations. Likewise, in the work of the Lord's church and on the mission field, there are impossible situations. Society becomes so sinful. Many are so hardened. There is a spirit of rebellion abroad. There is a dying interest in the gospel. And it all seems to be an impossible situation. And then as we study the human heart and we realize that such is the depravity of man, that it is impossible to convert a sinner. Man is so hardened against God that, humanly speaking, it is impossible. And it's only the Lord. It's only the Lord who can come in and meet that need and answer that situation. And he says to us today that all things are possible to them which believe. And it is then that we need to be like a David who went out against Goliath. What seemed impossible to those without faith, David was able to accomplish in a day. And he brought Goliath down. Or as Job, he was in an impossible situation. There seemed to be no answers and no way out. But through his perseverance and through his faith, and when he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And you can see Job's faith, trusting the Lord when there are no answers. Then there were answers because God doubled his latter end and blessed him greatly. Also, there is Mary, who took comfort by sitting at the Savior's feet. And while Martha was flustered and cumbered about many things, Mary chose the good part. And I would appeal to you today to choose the good part, to sit at Jesus' feet, to believe and to trust in him. Or as Paul, when he waited for that open door of the gospel, and while there had been beatings and imprisonments and setbacks, yet the Lord did give to him an open door. And we are praying for that and looking for the Lord to intervene. And so faith is required, but it's going to be tested and tried. And our faith needs to be objective, fixed upon the Lord himself as the answer to impossible situations. Now, this account that we have here in Mark 9, there really is only one interpretation, but there are many applications. And the troubles and things that you face will be different from mine, and churches differ, ministries differ, but we all have impossible obstacles to overcome. And the Lord says that all things are possible to them that believe. And so I want us to look at the Lord as the answer to impossible situations. Now you will see in this account and in the response of our Lord to the situation that it was a lack of faith that made this situation impossible. He rebuked these disciples in verse 18, and you'll notice the difficulty here. They could not cast him out, verse 18. And then verse 19. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? And if you want an honest analysis of the powerlessness of the Christian, the powerlessness of the church, the powerlessness of God's people in God's work, here it is. O faithless generation, how long have I been with you? Now, we're not given an exact date and time of this event, but certainly the disciples had been for many months and years disciples of the Lord Jesus. They had seen him work. They had experienced his power. And there were other times when they were able to do miracles in Jesus' name. But in this event, they were absolutely powerless to cast the devil out of this young boy. Now, here is a faithful analysis of impossible situations. It's due to the lack of faith. Oh, faithless generation. And this hits the target. And the target is our hearts. And it is our own inner lack of faith that is the issue diagnosed here. There is a definite connection between our faith and our weakness in the Lord's service. Now, the situation is impossible only because we do not fully, truly believe on the help and the power of the Lord. Look at verse 23, the text we have chosen. Jesus saith unto them, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. This is so true, and this is the Lord's analysis, and we need go no further. Faith is the power line that brings the blessing, the power of God into our lives and into our service for God. Now, we need to remember that these nine disciples did not experience the Lord on the Mount like the other three. They were down at the bottom all the while Peter, James, and John were on the top of the mountain. And at the top of the mountain, their faith was fed. They saw the glory of the Lord Jesus as he was transfigured. And what an amazing event that was. When right before their eyes, the glory of the eternal sonship of the Lord Jesus shone through his flesh. And his body glistened with white light. And these disciples beheld the glory of the Lord with their own eyes, and they never forgot it. When Peter came to write his letter, two letters that are recorded in the New Testament for us, he talks about this very event, whom we have seen. John also records this, that he saw the glory of the Lord. And then there was the cloud that descended, and out of that cloud spoke the Father, and he said in verse 8, "This is my beloved Son." They heard the voice of God. And so the faith of Peter, James, and John was fed. But the other nine disciples on the lower part of the mountain, they did not experience these things of the Lord as these three did. And I think this is the reason why these three, they continued to appear right through the New Testament as mighties for God, because they had such dealings with the Lord that their faith was fed. Now, we need to see the glory of the Lord and hear the Father's voice too. How do we do that? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we need to come to this book to feed our faith continually in this Word, in the truths that pertain to our Savior. You see, so quickly we lose perspective of who our Lord is and of the power that He displays. And that is soon reflected in our prayer lives when we ask so little. It was William Carey who said that we should do great things for God. But when our faith is weak, then we lose sight of this. And our faith needs to be in our Savior. He is not just a mere man. The Father has declared him to be his Son with power. He's not just a mere leader to lead us in the way. He is the way. He is not just a prophet to lead us into the truth. He is the truth. He's not just a shepherd to guide us in the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so our faith needs to be fed. Here is the answer to weak faith. Here is the answer to doing great things for God. Now, let's move to the father of the child and see that he also had lack of faith. If you look at verse 24, you will see that straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." And here is the honest confession of this troubled father. And we have every sympathy for him. We see the troubled state and the passion of his heart for his son as he cries out with tears. And he says, I believe, but. Is that not true of every one of us here today when it comes to impossible situations? We have this book, we have God's word, we know the doctrines, we say we believe, but we need help. We need help because of our unbelief. It's no doubt that this father was worn down. This boy was troubled by this demon possessing him from a child, from an infant. And to this time, there was no relief, there was no answer. And we see the genuineness of the father's heart in the turmoil that he has for his son. He was worn down. And yes, it's often the case that in the Christian life that we get worn down. Trouble after trouble and trial after trial, and we seem to see no answers. We see here that Satan was absolutely unrelenting. If you look at verse 20, "And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, you can see the devil active here. Immediately, when they brought this boy to the Lord, this wicked, hellish spirit tear him. There's energy at work here. There's forces at work, not letting go. And the boy fell to the ground and wallowed foaming." What heartache, what trial this brought. And then further on down, verse 26, when the Lord Jesus now was rebuking this demon, this spirit in the boy's body, the spirit cried and rent him sore. You will see that he's not giving up. You can see that there's an unrelenting power struggle here. And before he came out of him, he does all that he can. Indeed, we would see that he even sought to end the boy's life because he fell down as dead and many thought that he was dead. And we see the malice and the wickedness of this demon in the boy's body. And we learn here the unrelenting nature of the devil against the cry of this poor father. And he's powerless. And he says to the Lord Jesus, "If thou canst do anything," verse 22, "if thou canst do anything." There he is again confessing the weakness of his faith, and he submits the case to the Lord. And it was to the Father that the Lord spoke these words of our text: "All things are possible to them that believe." I want you to put yourself in the shoes of this father. I want you to listen to these words of the Lord to your heart now. All things are possible to them that believe. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. Do we really put our faith in the Lord to work out our impossible situations? Now, there's another area of failure I want us to look at, and it's down in verse 29, where the Lord drew attention to this, and he said there that there was a failure to pray and fast. And he said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." And here is the Lord's remedy for the deep-seated needs of his church and his people. Satan is strong. Satan is unrelenting. Satan will not give up, we are weak and powerless, then we must resort to prayer and to earnest prayer, intimated by this prayer and fasting. Now think of it. If every one of us here today were to apply the remedy which the Lord gives to impossible situations, prayer and fasting, earnest prayer, calling upon the Lord who can do the impossible, surely answers will be found. And let us learn from this and give ourselves to prayer, even to special times of prayer. To pray more, not less. You see, when faith is weak, we pray less. We pray for little things and we don't ask for great things. And we are inclined to spend less time, less effort in prayer. But when our faith is strong, then we will pray more and we will ask for even greater things. This kind cometh forth but by nothing, but by prayer and fasting. Here's the remedy. And it was an impossible situation because of their lack of praying and their lack of asking. I thank God for the praying people in this church. I thank God for everyone that gives themselves to prayer as much as possible. I rejoice. Where would we be today without the prayers of God's people? We learn from this that we could accomplish absolutely nothing unless we are calling on the Lord for power and victory. The Lord said to his disciples, "Without me ye can do nothing." And surely we learn that soon through failures. And this is a call to every one of us to redouble our efforts in prayer. Here's the answer. Do we wonder, how can we go forward? How shall we see the Lord bless? How shall we overcome these impossibilities? All things are possible to them that believe. And this kind cometh forth not but by prayer and fasting. And so I would ask you to redouble your efforts in prayer. We're not going to multiply the number of prayer meetings in our church. We have now over the summer 3 prayer times. A half hour before Sunday morning, a half hour before Sunday evening service, and Wednesday evening. We need to come with all our hearts and pray great petitions and bring these impossibilities to the Lord. And so we see that this was an impossible situation because of the lack of faith and the lack of prayer. Secondly, we need faith in the Lord's willingness to do the impossible for us. That's what this father found. And we see the Lord's readiness to help. His immediate irritation was, "How long shall I be with you?" You will see that in verse 19. "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you?" In other words, you frustrate me. You irritate me. You have seen my power. You have known my help. And now, look at this. He had been a teacher with them for years. He had been their example. They had enjoyed fellowship with him. They had enjoyed victory after victory. But still they were slow to learn the way of faith. "How long shall I be with you? O ye, O faithless generation." Now when it comes to practical skills, people are fast learners. When it comes to the new job and the new techniques and the new trades, whatever, people are fast learners. But when it comes to a life of faith, we seem to be very dull and slow. William Carey, whose life I've taken an interest in as we have been speaking tonight on Hinduism, and I wanted to read some of William Carey's experiences in India as he went at the end of the 1700s to take the gospel to that land, and to translate the scriptures into their language and to bring them to the knowledge of the gospel. Well, there were at least 7 years of pure frustration. 7 years without a convert. And if you were to read the journals of William Carey during those years, they are very depressing. And they are filled with defeat and problems after problem until God suddenly opens a door and there is a way ahead. And sometimes this is the despondency that God's people go through in various stages of our Christian service and our walk with God. We wonder why there is not victory upon victory in succession. We see here that the Lord is willing, and He's ready, and He is compassionate. If you look at verse 19, you see that He was unhesitating in His invitation to answer their need. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Bring him unto me. There was some slowness, reluctance, unbelief in the disciples, but there was no reluctance in the Lord. Bring him unto me. And now they did so in a physical way. They brought him. They laid him right near the Lord. By faith, we bring our impossibilities to the Lord spiritually. We bring them by name. We bring them by rehearsing the problems, the needs. And the Lord says, bring him unto me. And the Lord says to us, bring your problem to me. Bring your difficulty to me. He is inviting this. He's ready for this. He is inviting it all the way. And from this incident, you can be sure that the Lord desires to know your need and that you bring it to Him. Now, this readiness of our Lord, the Son of God, who came into the world to demonstrate God's love and grace to sinners and all their needs, this is our hope. This is our hope in the midst of difficulty. We have a strong tower that we may run to in any time of need. The Lord invites us. You're invited to bring your impossibility to Him. Now again, we see this willingness. It's declared in the conversation the Lord had with this father. If you look at verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. You will see here a very loving, gentle approach to this burdened father. As we have learned, he was worn down. He was in great distress of heart and mind about his son. And he is called here to faith, to enjoy the resources of the Lord's power. You'll notice that the Lord Jesus took the attitude of a coach. He didn't try to discourage him or beat him down, but he sought to inspire and draw him out. And he took that attitude of one who would encourage and strengthen him in this very situation. Our Lord is not out to crush weak faith. This man acknowledged, help my unbelief. And at verse 24, you will see the passion, the tears of the Father. It says he cried out. He cried out. That word is used by the blind men, Bartimaeus and the other blind man, when they were told to hush, be quiet. But they cried out all the more, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy. They cried out. And here is this poor father crying out. And he appeals and he pleads. There's a sound of desperation here. You see, true faith has this spirit of absolute dependency. It is never an attitude of, I'll take it or leave it. But it cries out in a sense of desperation. It's the approach, I must have this blessing. But it was enough for the Lord. It was enough for the Lord. The cry for help to believe was heard. I think that we would all confess today that our faith is weak. And we would pray this prayer, Lord, help my unbelief. But you see, prayer is not to overcome reluctance in the Lord. It is to just confess our complete trust and our plea for help. I wonder today, do you have this faith? All things are possible to him that believeth. And as you bring your situation to the Lord, is it mingled with a sense of desperation? Maybe it's your child, your son or daughter, and you're frustrated and you're confused and you're broken. And perhaps already you've shed many tears as this father did. Then the Lord invites you to come. He's compassionate. He's a coach to help. Maybe it's your own soul today. Maybe you recognize your own sin and your own lost condition, that you're so far from God. You're living in a prayerless state. You're living with such weak faith that you wonder, can you ever get near to God? Well, here's the cry that the Lord will never refuse. Here's the cry that he will always answer. He is ready, willing. And here is the reason why the Lord is the answer to the impossible situations of life. Call, cry out, plead and pray, seek and ye shall find. There's another part to this that I must not pass over. The impossible situations, and in these impossible situations, we must believe in the Lord's power over Satan. Our Lord was the answer to this father and his boy. You'll notice in verse 25 that by the power of his word, the Lord Jesus rebuked. He rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him." And here now is a demonstration of the word of his power. And Satan's power is broken in this young's life. Now, the Lord commands him to depart. He doesn't give the devil any option. He doesn't give him some plan B. He says, come out, depart. And he rebuked the foul spirit immediately. Come out of him. And then you'll notice that he commanded him to enter no more. End of verse 25. And enter no more into him. You see, the Lord is almighty, all-powerful over heaven, earth, and hell. And his word is final. And here is the complete and utter victory over this evil spirit. Now, as I noted, there was a final battle. As the spirit came out of the body of this young boy, we learn here that verse 26, the spirit cried and rent him sore. It was like a final fling of his hellish energy against the life of this young boy. And such was the drain on his physical strength that the boy fell as if he were dead. And many said that he was dead, absolutely drained. And then the Lord in verse 27 took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. We learn from this that the devil will never give up until he is totally defeated by the Lord. There is no halfway measure with Satan. He's either in or out. He is either on the throne of your heart or he is cast out. And that's why you need to be saved, and that's why you need the Lord. And only the Lord can deliver you from the grip of Satan. And only the Lord can keep the devil out of your life. This is the triumph of faith. And when you become a believer in the Lord Jesus, there is no possibility of Satan indwelling a born-again Christian in whom dwells the Spirit of God. There is complete victory for those that believe in the name and the authority of the Lord Jesus. And you must believe. Now you say, I'm living a defeated life. I've got sins. I've got powers and pressures and issues that I cannot overcome. Of course, on your own strength, you cannot overcome. But all things are possible to them that believe and call on the Lord into your life. You might say, I would be a Christian, but I could never keep it. Let me tell you, that's a good attitude. That's a good attitude. I like that. I don't want hypocrites that are interested in being Christians and not really worried about whether they can live the life or not. Because you are called to a new life. You are called to victory. You are no longer to dabble in sin, the world, and play with the devil. You are now to be a new person. But I assure you, if you believe, the Lord will do the work to defeat every power of sin and give you the victory again and again. This is the Savior that we preach, love and serve. And for this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, you might not accept this, but let me tell you, if you're not a Christian, the devil's got you in his grip. The Bible says that souls are led at his will. You are either a child of God or a child of the devil. You remember how the Lord Jesus even spoke to those religious men and he called them the child of your father, the devil. And if you're not born of the Spirit and indwelt by the Spirit, the wicked one has you. You are subject to his ways and his thinking and his control. That's why it is vital that you believe on the Son of God. That you believe that he is the man of glory, as Peter, James, and John saw him on this Mount Transfiguration. That you believe the Father's testimony. This is my beloved Son. Hear him. Hear him. Let me tell you, you'll have no relationship with the Father if you don't listen to his Son. If you don't believe on his Son. Yes, the Lord Jesus is the answer to impossible situations. And we could go down the list again of all those such situations, but the most urgent one is your salvation. The most urgent one is that you have the very gift.